and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show. Coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today is day two with our dear friend, Carl Gallops. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Mondo de la Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, here's your hosts, Pastors Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue Baker. Sing You Can Make It. This our new thing song.
You can make it. Oh, this trial you're going through, God's gonna show you just what to do. You can make it. You're gonna make it. I don't care what's going wrong, God won't let it last too long. And you're not in this thing alone. You can make it.
Amen.
Beautiful. Carl Gallop is back with us today. Do you believe we can make it?
I believe we can. I mean, can't sing it like she does, but I preach that and teach that all the time.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes on Jesus. Yeah. You can make it.
You can make it.
You know, because we're in a cancel culture.
Yeah.
And so if they don't like you, you either shut up or they'll cancel you.
And they label you, too, immediately. You know,
has anybody ever come for you? Such a sweet man.
Come for me?
Yeah.
You mean like
hurt you.
To hurt me? Am I in jail, brother? No.
Because you're a former. He's a former cop.
That's right.
Yeah. No, listen. You know, over the years, and I'm not going to be dramatic about it. It's just the truth. Yes, I've gotten threats, gotten some death threats, get trashed and labeled all the time. But, you know, look, I'm not trying to sound all righteous, but my strength is in the Lord. I just keep going, just like you guys do. I mean, I love getting older, because the older I get, the less I care.
You know,
are you with me?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, listen, I care. Listen.
I understand.
I mean, I care about people, of course.
Of course.
And if somebody wants to repent or come back and say, man, I'm so sorry I did that to you, that's a total different thing. All this continual barrage of, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're a racist, you're a homophobe, you're this. I'm none of those things.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you know
who you are in Christ.
I know who I am in Christ, and I know my heart.
Exactly.
I can sleep with myself, and I'm fine. I wake up in the morning. I'm happy before the Lord. So I don't care. I don't care if they won't let me explain it, or they won't let me minister to them, and that's how they want to cancel me or label me. I don't care.
Right.
Like Jesus said, he said it like this, shake the dust off your feet.
Yeah.
And keep going to somebody else.
Yeah, that's how he does it.
How long have you pastored?
I've been pastoring in one church for 35 years and getting ready to start I'm in my 36th year right now.
That's amazing.
Well, that speaks
I'm very blessed. What a blessing. Well, it's because y'all have met my wife, right?
I love Pam.
That's the only reason I've been there for 35 years.
I love her. She's amazing.
Many times they have said, we want to get rid of you, but we need your wife here. So.
She's incredible.
Yes,
we
she
love
is.
Pam.
Thank
Pam,
you.
Our love.
Thank
hey,
you.
Pam,
I will.
We love you.
One thing I want to ask you. Do you think, if you're a preacher, that you no longer have freedom of speech?
Well, that's happening all over the world.
I know. That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are people. I put something on social media. It might have been today. I don't know if I can word it correctly now, but I said something about, if I was the kind of preacher, you know, that the God haters, the liberals that are on social media always, you call yourself a preacher, blah, blah, blah. You know, if I was the kind of preacher that the lost people wanted me to be. And I've been in the ministry long enough to now know that there are a lot of preachers out there like that. Now I understand why the world's in the situation it's in. Because there are tons of preachers that stand up, speak the word, stand in the word, speak the truth. But the problem is there are many, many, many tens of thousands more that just don't anymore, because they don't want to be labeled. They don't want to be canceled. So I still feel like we are blessed to have the freedom of speech to preach and teach like we need to, like we're doing right now. And there are people that want to cancel me, people that always label me, people that would rather I didn't come on Jim Baker's show because that gives me too big of a voice, people that would rather that I shut up and leave the church or, you know, but I just keep going.
But the thing is, we need you now more than ever, Pastor Harold.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Because you're up with current events. You study to show yourself approved.
Yeah. Are you on the website on your Sunday service?
Yes, sir. We do live stream.
Streaming?
And we archive messages and things like that. And I'm doing a teaching through Revelation that's all archived, but that's on podcast. It's audio only, but my preaching is in front of a camera and stuff. So,
but I want millions to hear you every week.
Oh, you're so kind. Yeah. You're so kind.
I believe you're anointed. You're anointed for such an hour as this. And
thank you.
I haven't introduced you yet. I have it written down here.
After all those nice things you said about me, let me introduce myself. I've got good stuff I can use now.
You're the senior pastor of Hickory Hammock.
Yes, sir.
That is the strangest name.
Yes, it is.
And that's been a name for 30-some years, right?
Oh, no. That's been the name of the church since the 1920s when they founded it.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's on because
so everybody at Hickory Baptist area, they know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
you're
a best-selling author. I know you're in the Amazon top 60 authors of Amazon. That's big. That's a big thing. I love all your books. You got so many of the Rabbi. That was one of your books. The Secret Message.
The Identity of Messiah.
Masquerade was another book. Mm-hmm. The Summoning.
Yes, sir.
I remember The Final Warning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
From
The Glimpse of Glory.
Glimpses of Glory. That's my newest one, yeah.
And you're working on another one?
I'm working on another one. It's already been approved by the publishers, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, I was going to ask you something. I set all that up.
Yeah.
And if I ask you if it's going to rain, you can preach on that.
See, I think that's a compliment.
It is a compliment.
But I'm not sure. My mother used to say things like that, and it wasn't a compliment. So.
No, that's a compliment.
I take it as a compliment.
No,
thank you.
No, and I, you folks heard me say this before. I've been interviewing people for 50 years, is it, Sue?
Yeah,
50-plus years. Mm-hmm. And the who's who of the world. At one point, I was on TV more hours than anybody else.
I used to watch you.
As a preacher, I'm sending out bumper stickers, Pump American Oil. And for some reason, it seems like the left, and I'm not against the left or the right. I mean, I'm not anti-anybody. I just love people. But Pump American Oil, because I see where we're headed. And they say, well, electric cars and everything are coming. What's going to take time and where are we going to get the electricity from? As I keep asking them.
Right.
Nobody has an answer for me.
Right. And what are we going to do with the waste from it? The batteries?
Exactly.
How heavy is that battery? Do you remember? It's very heavy.
Yeah, it can be several hundred pounds.
Yeah.
Or more, I think.
And what are we going to do
with that? Depending on the vehicle.
Right.
Yeah.
So here you got this. Better you can't lift. Massive thing.
Yeah.
And so I read the ad for the new electric automobile on TV. So, you got all the gadgets now. So I stopped the picture right there, mm-hmm. and I read the disclaimer down underneath the electric car. Oh, don't read the ones with medicine. There's a word.
Yeah, we all know, honey. We all
know.
You just have to listen.
I don't know why, but as I got older, I'm reading that little print now.
Yes.
I've learned the fine print
is
important because it can get you in trouble. You know that? And they say, and this medicine may cause a heartache or it may cause a death or a stroke or a... And I think, oh, my God, who would want to take that medicine with all of that?
So same thing happened on the car when you started looking at the electric cars, the disclaimer.
Yeah, so I read below, and it said it would go 400 miles
yeah.
in the ad, 400
yeah.
miles.
Yeah.
And then down below, but it said But if you're going uphill a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, yes. Welcome to the Ozarks.
Exactly.
That's right. I said, we couldn't do it here.
We got hills here. We could hardly get down to the convenience store.
Yes, that's right.
We could run out of juice.
We could go downhill for a while, but then you got to go back out.
Yeah, it's like a golf cart.
So I said, the hills would reduce your mileage. And then it said, temperature.
Yes.
And I don't know what that meant. I know batteries don't like cold.
Or hot, if it's too hot or too cold.
Have you ever been up north?
Yeah.
And tried to start your car on a cold morning? Mm-hmm. They don't want to start. Did you know that?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's all that, you got to read that disclaimer.
You do.
So the temperature would affect the mileage. They had this whole list of stuff. If ends and buts, you know.
So what you want to do is pump the oil.
Yes, and so, we do. That's
here the thing is.
Pump American oil.
Yes, exactly.
My car is 15 years old that I drive. That I don't drive anymore because Lord won't let me. But it's my car. I still have it. It's the one I raised the kids in.
Yes.
It's a Dodge Durango.
That's right.
And I'll tell you, I could sell Dodge Durangos because that car... I don't think I've ever had any trouble with it in 15 years.
It's amazing. It's true. It's
we
amazing.
Could jam all the kids yes. in that big Durango, too. And so, what am I going to do when they stop pumping gas anymore and the price has gone so high? And so I made these bumper stickers, but it's not correct for me to put out bumper stickers as a preacher, they say, you know. But this is what I believe. I believe we're going to be in deep trouble. If they ever declare in a war of America, what if we have to have tanks? What if we have to have all those vehicles? I don't know if they have an electric motored tank right now. I doubt it, you know. But what are we going to do? And God gave us oil. Do you believe things like that? That God blessed America?
I do. The resources, and we do. We have the resources. In fact, President Trump proved that. We were energy independent.
We have oceans of oil.
Yeah, oceans of oil. Yeah.
And I'm just saying, let's pump it.
Yeah.
I know what's coming, people, and they don't have to. This is a self-made tragedy coming to America. We're running out of food. And another thing, forgive me, I'm taking a little time with the news today, but this is the big story, Mondo. Help me with it. The food processing plants
yeah.
in America, how many is it now? Do you know?
16 right now that we know of.
In 4 weeks, I think it was.
Yes.
16, listen to me. Are you listening to me out there?
Yeah.
Wake up.
Wow, look at this. This is unbelievable. Wow.
It really is.
16 of our food. Look, it's on the map. You even put the map at home. And there's the food processing plants in 4 weeks.
Have burnt
down to the ground.
Yeah.
Mm.
Two of them were hit by airplanes.
Wow.
Come on now. Give me the odds, Mondo.
Mm.
Wow.
Of food processing plants, two of them hit by airplanes,
mm-hmm.
and the others burned to the ground.
Wow.
Look at them.
Taylor Farms in Salinas, California.
Right. Look at that big food plant there, Mondo, on the screen.
Wow.
This is huge.
What is that called? Shares Foods?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look how big that thing is.
Wow.
Blazing on fire. Taylor Farms fire. That's the one you were talking about.
In Salinas.
That's mm-hmm. another big, that's a big,
huge,
big
very
place.
Very close to us.
Big processing plants.
Wow.
I mean, the list goes on and on from coast to coast. They are hitting major plants.
Is anybody inspecting this? Is anybody is the FBI investigating this?
You know, the reports are not even talking about that right now, but they are trying to make sense of what's happening. Yet it's not an alarming situation.
How many in this room think it's suspicious?
Yeah.
Well, I do.
All these fires. And they're all at food processing plants.
Anyone who has common sense.
Somebody wants you dead.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to kill America. Mm.
this is the wild one here. This is what the only plant that they're watching, right? That the ATF is really investigating is Walmart facilities catch on fire, and they're afraid that other Walmarts will be targeted across the United States.
So you say a Walmart was one of them?
Yes, sir. And the facility is being investigated by ATF, and now they're even thinking that they're going to be creating more fires on more Walmarts where more people shop. Yet they're not talking about it on the news. It's not a major event. You would think that this would be in every headline, that the news outlets will be talking about this, yet we want to know more about Johnny Depp.
Oh, boy. That's too much.
You
right
talk
now.
About where we are in here. The priorities. in America, here, our food industry is in trouble. Mm-hmm. 16 major food plants in America are being hit, yet they're not talking about it in mainstream media.
Some are, and we do have some B-roll on it.
Roll it then, please.
A plane apparently crashed at a General Mills plant, a food plant in Covington, Georgia. Six tractor trailers were reportedly on fire. You're seeing pictures from the scene right now. This is the second time in a week that something like this has happened. On April 14th, the plane crashed into the Gem State Processing in East Idaho. What's going on here? Well, the story gets weirder. Food processing plants all over the country seem to be catching fire. A couple of days ago, a fire destroyed the headquarters of Azure Standard, one of the largest organic food distributors in the country. At the end of last month, a fire severely damaged a fresh onion packing facility in South Texas. In Oregon, a potato chip processing plant to support a boiler explosion that sent workers to the hospital. Here's a news report on that.
Eastern Oregon, where crews are battling a major fire at a potato chip processing plant. Air 12 flew over the scene at Shearer's Foods on Highway 207 in Hermiston. We're told the fire was caused by an explosion of a portable boiler there. Two people were taken to the hospital.
So industrial accidents happen, of course, but this is a lot of industrial accidents at food processing facilities at the same time the president's warning us about food shortages. They're getting hit by planes and catching fire. What is going on here exactly? Jason Rance hosts a radio show in Seattle and joins us to put it into perspective. Jason, good to see you.
Good to see you. Yeah, obviously, when something happens every so often, you obviously hope that there's no significant damage and certainly no one gets hurt, but you kind of write it off. It's not that big of a deal. Accidents happen. But when you've got well over a dozen food processing plants and warehouses getting destroyed or seriously damaged over just the last few weeks, at a time when the food supply is already vulnerable, it's obviously suspicious. And it could lead to serious food shortages. That's why some folks are now wondering, well, number one, what's going on? And you've got some people speculating that this might be an intentional way to disrupt the food supply.
Wait, so may I ask you to pause there really quick? Can I just ask you, I just want to nail this down so our viewers understand. There have been confirmed over a dozen disabling accidents at food plants in the last month, over a dozen.
Absolutely. And we're talking about some really significant plants. The Taylor Farms facility in Salinas, California was completely destroyed by a fire last week. We've had two major potato processing plants in Belfast, Maine, and Warden, Washington that were completely gutted, which is happening at a time where we already have a potato shortage globally. You were talking about the onion supply at that Rio Fresh. But it's not just produce plants. Last month, there was a fire that took out a Nestle food plant out in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and that's impacting frozen food brands like Hot Pockets or Stouffer's, which maybe you might buy if you can't get fresh food from a warehouse that just exploded. And that Shearer's food facility you just mentioned in the open, I mean, that's the only West Coast facility that they operate. So there is some significant concern, of course, that this is going to impact the supply chain. Now, to be clear, the timing is very suspicious. It's obviously concerning. Police are saying that these fires are due to faulty issues with equipment, so they're not saying that this was intentional. Either way, it's obviously going to have some significant, you know, implications in us getting our food.
Yeah. I mean, an hour ago, a plane crashes into a General Mills facility?
And no.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
This is
Carol
Gallup's really something.
Straighten us out.
Wow.
Well,
have we been dumbed down so far that a story like this, they're just saying, well, these are just happenstance.
Yeah.
And so much of this happened in 4 weeks. It's up to 6 weeks now into some of them. Mm-hmm. But this is plant after plant after plant after plant. And they're destroyed. They're not just burnt. Yeah. They're burnt down. So, but we're living in perilous times. Times when we, what's going on right now, people would have, if we would have told them we're doing what we're doing now, right now, people would say, you're crazy, Jim. I mean, couldn't be. If we would have told them this 10 years ago, even, what we're doing now in America.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah, and I was just talking to Sister Lori here just a few moments ago about the fact that, you know, you guys have been, and I have from my pulpit been warning people for years that you know, I mean, we've said it right here. You don't have to get crazy about it or get to a point where you feel you're going crazy, but just use your head like Joseph in Egypt. Yeah. He saw the famine that was coming. God gave him the wisdom. So he stored up grain.
Right.
And you've been encouraging people for years. Yeah. You've even said right here several years ago, I've been coming here for years. Mm-hmm. I've heard you say several times that you could foresee a time in America where people would stand in line to get groceries.
Right.
You said that right here. And you said, and you don't want to be in that situation. You want to buy some of this storable food and take care of it. So not only for you, but your family and friends and neighbors. And you know, and people ostracized you and me and the rest of us that were saying this. Mm-hmm. Now we're living in the midst of it. And the media hands us this thing. You look at the map, it's in this like perfect circle around the nation and right through the middle. I mean, I don't know. It looks orchestrated. It looks statistically impossible that within a few weeks it would be only food processing plants and, you know, and in this whole, that kind of covering the whole perimeter of the nation and then through the middle of it, it just looks orchestrated. Now, again, I've said this before. So even if it's faulty equipment or airplanes that went out of order, I mean, what's the chances two airplanes would hit two food processing plants in a few days? I mean, but even if it's all a big coincidence, I somehow still feel in my soul, I know the Word of God. I know about the unseen realms. I know about the conspiracy theories that are being hatched in Satan's headquarters.
That's right.
I know the Bible says in Revelation 12:12, woe unto you, earth, in those days, because Satan has been thrown down and he's filled with rage. He knows his time is short. So I look at all of this. I see what's going on in Russia and Ukraine and all the ramifications, potential ramifications of that.
Right.
I know what's happening in our own geopolitical world right here in our own nation, the lunacy, the derangement of mind. Mm-hmm. And then we look at this and even, you know, Tucker Carlson and the guy that he had on there, they were kind of scratching their heads saying, well, it could be coincidental, but good gosh, look at the map. Look at what's happening. Right. So the deal is, this is very spiritual. It is demonic. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that lives itself out in the flesh. Sometimes there are people sitting around and plotting this stuff. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's Satan feeding ideas and using his minions and puppets to do what he is desiring to do. So I don't know exactly. I mean, I used to be a cop and I did criminal investigations for a while, so I kind of think that way. But and I only know what I'm seeing on the news, so I'm not trying to play criminal investigator here. I'm just saying that just watching that we just saw and thinking about where we are, I just don't think it's coincidence. I could be wrong. It may turn out to be all coincidence, but it just looks too... If I was still a criminal investigator, I would not immediately say this is coincidence. I would go deeper.
I think America is being dumbed down.
Yes.
I think we had the cancel culture scared everybody, and freedom of speech is gone. It's just gone in America.
Well, technically it's not, but you're right. It is gone and disappearing because people are afraid to speak up, and people are afraid to be labeled, and people are afraid to be canceled, and people are more concerned about keeping their social media account open than to keep free speech open. So they cave in and give up their free speech so they can keep a social media account where it says you got 1,000 likes and the truth is you got 4, your mama, your sister, your brother, and then 800 people that just want to build up their account.
That's right.
I mean, so that's where people are now. And it's just happening. It's a demonic kind of process. It's a brainwashing process. Our children get into it early. You know, they feel like their whole self-worth is in the tank unless they've got so many followers. Yeah. I mean, just it's crazy. It's crazy. But again, it's all very prophetic.
It is.
Yeah.
We've introduced your book yesterday, A Glimpse of of Glory, which is an amazing book.
Thank you.
In that book, you capture what may have been the very essence of what Jesus was going through in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
Do you think he was tempted to sleep or to give in to Satan's temptation?
Well, listen, thank you for asking. And I'm honored that you would say these nice things about the book because I happen to know that you've read it.
Yes.
And I mean, you know, and I appreciate that. And I don't expect everybody that ever interviews me on a book I read to have read the whole thing. But you guys have, and you have. And so thank you for asking me. Yeah, listen, so I took some liberty, and I say that up front in the book in a footnote, that you have to. But the Bible has a lot that tells you how you can take liberty but still be biblical. And so I take you into the garden, and I take you through what the Bible says happened and what he thought and what he was doing. And I mean, when your capillaries in your forehead burst to the point that your sweat and blood is mingling together, and there is a medical condition, it's very rare, but it can happen under some of the most stressful conditions. And when that's happening, you've got some real battles going on. You've got some temptations. I mean, it's not just because you're praying. It's because you're being tempted to not do something that you know you need to be doing. In his case, it was to go to the flogging and then to be crucified and to be spit on and mocked and lied about and put in a monkey trial. And, you know, and he knew that was coming. It was planned before the foundation. But the point is, he's in the flesh now. He's identifying totally with us. That's why the scripture said he was tempted in every way.
That's right.
Every way. And I mean, we could spend a whole show talking about all those different ways.
Right.
But in the garden, I think he was wore out. He was tired. He knew what was ahead. He had to stay strong, but he was fighting this battle. Mm-hmm. You know, you've done spiritual battle before, and it wears you out. And I mean, you could have had 12 hours sleep the night before and do some spiritual battle for a couple hours at a counseling meeting or preaching or somebody in your face. Mm-hmm. And man, I mean, you're wiped out.
That's true.
And so he was wiped out. And one of the temptations, I think, and I write it, I insert it in there, was that he just needed, if he could just close his eyes, if he could get a little, but he couldn't. His disciples did, and they fell asleep. And so I have him in there where he says he kind of just nods off and he catches himself and keeps going and keeps praying. And he's, you know, he's weeping, and he's praying. And then he's, you know, he shows up and wakes up the disciples later. And he's got to have that sweaty blood in his face. They probably thought, what happened to you while you were over there in the shadows? Like, did somebody jump on you? You know, and so he knew that Judas was going to betray him. He had already told his disciples that night that Satan had entered into him. Mm-hmm. He knew that they would be coming. He knew what was going to happen. And one of the gospels says that he was ministered to by an angel that came to him. Mm-hmm. I write that in there where he's praying. And I have it that the angel offers him the 12 legions that are behind the curtain of the unseen realm, because the Bible says he's got those legions at his disposal. He is the Lord of hosts. They belong to him. He created them. And so here comes one of his top generals, if you will, saying, we know you're where you're supposed to be. We don't understand the whole thing. He said, Carl, how can you say that? Because Peter said it. Yeah. Even the angels didn't understand it all until it was done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so in one of the gospels says that an angel came to minister to him.
Yeah.
Well, what did he do? Wipe his forehead? What did he do? Bring him a little drink of water? Yeah. No, he was there to say, Lord, please let me bring the legions in here. This doesn't use, we don't know exactly what's going on here, but don't do this. I mean, you know, like Peter, bless his heart, say, I will never let that happen to you. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. And I listen, and I know he kind of aimed it at Peter, but I also think he could see Satan. He could see through the realm, and he could see that he was manipulating Peter in his mouth and the way he was thinking. I think he meant it both. Look, and you're doing the work of Satan by that. Uh-huh. You're tempting me. Mm-hmm. I've got very real temptations because I'm like you now. Mm-hmm. I'm getting ready to deliver myself to the cross as a human so that you can be forgiven. Mm-hmm. Don't say that. So in the Garden of Gethsemane, I have him going through all of that. I have him remembering all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. Up on the cross, he remembers that because that's what's put him here. That's why he had to do this, is because what Adam and Eve and Satan did in the garden. So I tie all of these biblical truths together, brother, and I try to make it real. I want you to feel it. I want you to smell it. I want you to taste it. I want you to touch it.
And you make it like that. It's like a novel form of writing, would you say?
Yeah, yeah. That's how I write it.
So it's a page-turner, and so you want to keep reading, but it's truth.
Yeah, and the thing is I want it to be so that it takes all of the, and listen, I don't mean this disparagingly, because children need to know the Word of God too, but it takes all the little children bedtime story feeling out of what we do with the Scripture sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
We take the Garden of Eden or Noah's Ark and we turn it into a cartoon.
Right.
You know, like a little colorful snake, you know, eat the apple, you know, and then Bible in its whole context does not say that's how it happened. Something dreadful happened there, something horrific that we're in the situation we're in right now. And so what I want people to see is, without me going outside the Scripture, you know, I mean, I do take some liberty, like Jesus wanting to sleep, but that's only because the angel shows up to minister to him, because he's wore out, because he's tempted in every way, because he's in the flesh. The Bible says all of those things. So I just take one more step and say, maybe one of the temptations was he just wanted to sleep for a little bit. Right. His disciples are already snoring. So that's the point. I just want people to, I'm trying to take the mystical, and then the children, I want it to be fleshy and real and like, this really happened.
That's right.
This really happened.
Yeah.
And that's
and
what he was really feeling.
You really do.
Thank you.
And not many people fully understand the agony that Jesus, and then you talk about the two thieves.
On the cross, oh my gosh. Through,
to just able to breathe.
Yeah.
Can you explain that
a
little bit?
Others have written about this in the past, and so, you know, I felt a little weird going back into it again, because I don't want it just to be something that everybody else has done. And people have done great jobs with it, and mine may be at the bottom of the list of what's the best. But what I tried to do, Pastor Jim, is to take you through the crucifixion. Listen, the details. Think of this, Pastor Jim. And yes, I'll answer the question about the breathing, but think of this. This goes to it. If your hands have railroad spike sizes of nails through them, and your feet, can you imagine having one of those through the top of your feet? And you've already been beat almost to death. Flesh is hanging off of you in great strips. Isaiah 52 talks about that, so you couldn't even recognize him. Isaiah 53 does too, but 52, the last verses of 52 describe it too, beyond disfigurement. And you are there. Listen to me now, guys. You got a crown of thorn on your heads, blood, sweat, everything, tears, and you cannot wipe the hot, salty nastiness out of your eyes, and the flies are buzzing everywhere, and they're crawling up your nose, into your ears, into your eyes. You open your mouth, and they're flying in, and you can't do anything. What are you going to do? You don't have a hand to do anything. Nobody else is going to help you. The guys beside you. That was one of the horrors of the crucifixion, is that people used to go and watch because they wanted to see the show. They wanted to see the horror and how people dealt with their own misery. That's why people went. And the Romans knew this. It's one of the most hideous forms of torture, because it's a suffocating, it's a slow suffocation, because what happens is, and people have described this before, but I'd go through it in my book, but rather than describing it, I put you there as though you're standing there watching it, or you're feeling what Jesus is feeling. But so you're hanging there, and what happens is that, you know, what do you do? You're just suspended on spikes. That's the weight of your body. And so Psalm 22 says, you know, he says, I look and I stare. My bones are out of joint. They would be. I can see my bones. They stare at me. My tongue is sticking to the roof of my mouth. Of course, he cried out, I thirst. You know, they've pierced my hands and my feet. And so the flies are swarming. Everything's falling into his eyes, and he can't wipe his face. He can't get the flies out. All of that's happening. In the meantime, he's pushed up so he can keep breathing. But after a while, the pain is so intense, he can't, and then he collapses, but then your lungs collapse, not they don't collapse, but your body collapses in around your lungs. Now all the weight's down here like this, and you can't talk, and so he has to push back up, which is one of the reasons why he spoke in little short sentences. You know, when the thief, and the thieves did too. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, and he has to fall back down. And he has to push back up, get another breath, and to speak took it took breath from you. And then Jesus said, I tell you the truth, before this day's over, you'll be with me in paradise. And he collapses again. And he's just trying to get it out, but he used up all of his air. And so, but then to push back up, you got to push against a spike through the tops of both of your feet. That's your platform, is you're pushing your body up on your feet that have a spike in it. In the meantime, you are burning alive with thirst. The pain is racking your whole body. And in the minutest things like gnats and flies and bumblebees and tears and blood and the salt in your eyes and all of those, that would drive most people out of their minds, absolutely. Not counting spikes in your hands and pushing up, and you can't breathe, you're suffocating. And this would go on for some victims, it would go on for days before they would die. Wow. Days like that. And insult to injury, you've been stripped almost naked. Yeah. The whole world's looking at you, and they're laughing and mocking while you're dying. Mm. See, if we get sick, we go to the hospital, and we say, please, morphine. Please, pat me on the head. Please, I need a rag for my head. Right. And people come running to you, and you're still miserable, but they're taking care of you. Can you imagine being taken out of your hospital bed and spiked to the wall, and all the nurses come by and laugh at you all day, every day, for days? I mean, that's kind of the feeling of the whole thing. And so anyway, I take you to the foot of the cross, and whether you like it or not, you get to experience that in a way that's not a little children's story anymore.
Right.
And it's real. It really did happen. It happened all the time. But
it happened for us.
But this is really happened for us.
I believe the complete story of Jesus for now and for off to learn of what he did for us, how we have the power to go on.
Yeah.
Because of what he did for us.
Because of what he did for us.
No, I got to hurry because I'm out of time again.
Right.
There's a chapter in your book entitled Plundering the Strong Man's House.
Yeah.
Why is it important for us to understand what Jesus was doing when he dealt with Pharisees and the demons?
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, thank you for asking that. I have that in there, that whole conversation, because what has happened is the Pharisees, their territory was being stomped on, and the Sadducees, because they were the religious elite, and Jesus was messing that up.
Yeah,
because the throngs were going to him, you know, and all of a sudden they were losing their power and their prestige, and Jesus wasn't trying to stick it in their face. He wasn't being a jerk about it. He was just speaking kingdom truth and working miracles, and here they came. So the Pharisees and Sadducees, they went to him. They dogged him for 3 years, threatened him, everything else. And then they start, in front of the crowd, start accusing Jesus of doing everything he's doing because he's doing it by the power of Satan. Mm-hmm. He's doing it by the power of demons. And Jesus responds with, look, when you're plundering the strong man's house, how can the strong man's house stand if he's fighting against himself? Mm. And he says, you give the Lord a hand. Some of you want to do that.
That's right.
And so, but what Jesus was saying, he said, I didn't come. I don't do this under the power of Satan. I came here to plunder the strong man's house.
Amen.
I'm here to plunder it. I'm here to rip it asunder. I'm here to expose it, which he did in delivering people from the demonic and crippling people that had some of them had disease because of their sin.
Right.
Now, not everybody's disease is because of sin, but some of it is. Some of it is. We do things all of our life, and then later on it tells on us and ruins our health.
That's right.
And it's because we went against God's word.
That's right.
And so Jesus plunders that. He exposes that. He delivers people from demons. He heals people of illnesses and sicknesses. And nobody has ever done that before when he arrives, and nobody has ever done that since. Not like that. And here he is turning the world upside down and on its ear. And they, the Pharisees and Sadducees, are intimidated by it. They're jealous. They're angry. They're vicious. And in the midst of all of that, Jesus said, look, you don't understand. I've come here. This is what I've come for.
Yeah.
But yet at the same time, I show the compassion he had for those guys.
Yeah.
He didn't hate them. Mm-mm. He was trying to get them to see. He kept teaching and telling them and begging them. But in the meantime, he made it very, very clear. This is my whole purpose. I mean, from the garden, what Satan did to me in the Garden of Eden, he's paying for that. And now I'm here in secret. He can't even figure me out. I'm getting ready to bring it all to a conclusion, and I'm going to restore everything. No, I'm not doing this in the power of Satan. I'm doing it because of him.
Yeah. This is powerful.
Today, last week I talked about the end of Revelation. What do they call the news?
The good news.
The good news of Revelation.
We win.
We win.
And all the good stuff.
Yeah.
And you do that. In this book,
thank you.
You bring the good news of Jesus and all at the end of this book is fabulous.
It is.
Thank you.
And I should read pages of it, but I don't have time.
I know. We're talking about Carl Gallup's new book, Glimpses of Glory, and we have them available for you. One book for $25 donation to the ministry, including shipping and handling, or go for the friends and family. Get three. Get. I always say it, but it's true. Get it to your pastor. It'll. You know, actually encourage him.
I wrote it for that, hoping pastors would read it.
It really is encouraging. Oh,
absolutely.
Thank you.
So get it for the loved ones in your life, for somebody that comes across the pathway of your life, but give them out, and they can be blessed by this book in a big way. And it is a novel type reading, so it's easier to read that way. And thank you for doing that, Pastor Carl.
My pleasure.
That's,
thank you.
Powerful. And also, don't forget the Baker's Dozen. You can receive 13 for a donation to the ministry of $200, and that includes shipping and handling.
Amen.
Running out of time, but I want to end with a little bit of the end of this book, because it is in chapter 67, is it? My God, that's
But they're only like 4 or 5 pages each. Yeah. I write short chapters.
Oh, so you can read a chapter a day,
that
right?
Makes it easy.
Well, it just encourages people to keep going, because they read 4 pages, and then they want to read the next 4, then the next 4, then the next 4.
Yes, it does.
Chapter 67... You note that in Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5, we are given the assurance that God will give us light and we will reign forever and ever. What is it that gives us this assurance?
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. I mean, the very first thing God created was light in the beginning. And then, let there be light. And then from there, it went for Jesus said, I'm the light, I'm the light, I'm the light, I'm the light. And then we get to Colossians chapter 1, and it says, and by him and through him, all things made that were made. He created the universe and everything in it, and everything was made for him and by him, and in him all things hold together. Now we know from quantum physics that the smallest part of the atom is made up of smaller particles, and all of those particles are held together by photoelectric energy, photons, translated as light. Everything about life and physicality is held together by light.
Yeah.
And that was the first creation. That's what God calls himself. That's what Jesus calls himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is, in the end, we see the light of the throne of God, the light of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are called to rule and reign with him. He holds all things together. He makes all things new. And the Word of God says this from beginning to end, and science even verifies that it is light that holds everything together.
Right.
And so I'm just saying, and Satan is dark, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't understand.
You know, I in the prison when I first got there, I guess I was morbid, but I wanted to know what all was about. You know, I was asking God, why did you put me here, and all that kind of stuff. You know. And so I started reading every book I could get my hands on about life after death.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I read everybody to the every one of them that wrote about dying, and people die and come back to life. Did you know that? A lot of people do.
Yeah.
I had an assistant that died and come back. And everyone said the same thing. When they die, they go to the light when they're dying, and they... Like some go through a tunnel, but there's always the light there.
Yeah.
And so, I got so many questions I want to ask.
We didn't even touch on John. I mean, oh my goodness, how you talked about John. We don't have the time. You're going to have to get the book.
Yeah.
But it's like you're writing from John's perspective.
Yes.
And it is so, we're talking about the apostle John.
He's on his deathbed.
Yes.
Yes. And so, everything that he's experiencing, the people that are in the room with him, what he's seeing, what he's feeling, what he's smelling.
Yeah.
And then what happens to him as all of a sudden he's breathing his last. And he instantaneously walks through another dimension and the old world is left behind him. And then what happens on the other side? Mm-hmm. And all of this is according to what God's word says.
Yeah.
And I just let John experience it on those pages.
It's absolutely incredible.
Get the book and read it because you're going to love reading it. Mm-hmm. This is a reader's book.
It is.
Don't you think, Lori?
Absolutely. It's a page turner and you don't want to put it down because it's the word of God.
That's right.
It's truth. And it's put in a novel-type form where it's easy to read.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, it's maybe not that easy to read about Jesus being crucified, but it's something we have to really face it. It's the real deal.
Derek Gilbert wrote the foreword. I did an interview with him on this.
Mm-hmm.
And he just read... he said, let me just read to you a couple of paragraphs out of the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. The Garden of Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
And Derek's up there reading it.
Yeah, that's what we wanted to
do. And he openly started weeping.
Yeah.
And couldn't finish reading it.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my gosh, I had no idea that God was going to use it like that.
Yeah.
You know, but so it's written that way where you just literally
feel it.
Yeah.
And I want the Word of God and all that Jesus has done for us to really just come alive and not just be a little story, but something that you are in yourself. You're there.
Comes alive.
Yeah.
When you get to the end of this book, Carl, what is the final purpose of everything?
Well, the final purpose of everything is that God is bringing, he's one, he's bringing everything back together like it was in the Garden of Eden, but on steroids. In other words, now the ones that are populating it have been tested. They've come through the fire. Mm-hmm. See, this is boot camp that we're living in
right now.
That's
right.
So we come out on the other side. We choose Jesus in spite of the world and in spite of our own sin nature, mm-hmm. in spite of our own temptations, in spite of our own filth that is in us. We bring it to Jesus, put it before him, and we serve him. Every day cannot be a day of perfection for us. But we have the Holy Spirit to keep us going in the same direction, which is why Paul ended by saying, I fought the fight.
Yeah.
I finished the race.
Yeah.
I kept the faith. It's almost like he couldn't believe it because every day was a war.
Yeah.
And so that's what this is all about, brother. He's bringing it all back together and he's bringing the tested ones, the sanctified, the saints, the separated ones. He's bringing us back together. He says, now you will rule and reign. Because he doesn't want us. He didn't create us to be puppets on a string or robots or even animals that operate by instinct. We're created in his image. That means we have a choice.
Now
this is all teaching us about choices and why you cannot lose by serving the Lord. And so once that's put back together, then whatever God does from there, he says we'll rule and reign, probably, of course, on the face of this earth, and it will be what he intended it to be. There'll probably be nations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wanted there to be nations of people, but we will rule and reign.
Mm-hmm.
And what if he decides to create it all again somewhere else too? Another creation, and we're going to get to be like the angels.
Right.
Listen, when he created this the first time, the angels already existed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the book of Job, it says they were there. And they sang for joy when he started doing this. What if we get to be in that group when he does it again somewhere else or somewhere else? I mean, he can.
Yeah.
I think about these things.
Yeah.
That's a little glimpse of glory that God gives me sometimes.
That's
where it's all headed, brother. That's what it's all about.
Would you pray for our audience and the people viewing?
I'd be honored.
That they will see glimpses of glory in these last days.
I'd be honored.
Amen.
I'd be honored. Thank you so much. Join with me in prayer. Father, I thank you for these that are viewing, these that are viewing live, and these that will view, and the archives and the reruns, for hopefully until you return.
Yeah.
And I pray, Lord, that through this whole program today, that people have already gotten a glimpse of glory. They can start to see things now that they didn't see. They've got eyes to see and ears to hear. I pray, Father, for the salvation of souls. I know there's somebody watching this that's saying, oh my gosh, I have got to get right with my Creator. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says it, Father, and I'm going to just say it in case somebody's listening. If we would confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord and believe in our hearts that you raised him from the dead, they would be saved. Father, in my prayer, I pray for somebody to hear that and for their souls to be awakened. I pray for prodigals to return home. Yes. I pray for captives of bondage and filth in the world to be set free. I pray for deliverance. I pray for healing.
Yes,
and I pray, Father, that all along the way, especially because of this program and what we've been talking about, that people will begin to see in their mind's eye and their spirit from your throne, you'll give them glimpses of glory that is to come as well. And that will help us to keep going and to not give up and to fight the fight and to finish the race and to keep the faith. I ask this for your people and those that will become your people. I ask it in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful.
We have a report from Ukraine, I believe, and I would like you to run that right now because we have just a few seconds left, but I want you to send your offering in to help us continue to feed people, to send Bibles out, and to send the blankets, and to build this building that we're building right now.
Resurrection Refugee Center.
To house people as they're fleeing the war. Let's roll that.
The danger of World War III is real.
This video shot by Ukraine's Azov battalion claims to be from underneath the last holdout in Mariupol, the Azovstal steel plant. These women say their kids haven't seen daylight for 6 weeks. My country is simply dying, says this woman. The children here cry all the time. They want to play. They want to live.
United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres said humanitarian corridors that were truly safe were urgently needed to allow them to leave.
My proposal is for a coordinated work of United Nations, the International Committee of the Red Cross, and Ukraine and Russian Federation forces to enable the safe evacuation of those civilians who want to leave, both inside the Azovstal plant and in the city.
The United Nations said the Russian president agreed in principle to a UN-coordinated corridor and that discussions would continue with the Russian Defense Ministry.
Russia continues to try to brutalize parts of the country, but Ukrainians are standing up, they're standing strong, and they're doing that with the support that we have coordinated from literally around the world.
Support Ukraine has been begging for, as Russia now aims to pummel into submission Ukraine's east as well as the south, launching at least 6 cruise missiles into the Black Sea port city of Odessa over this Orthodox Easter weekend.
Yevhenia Kravchuk, a member of parliament, warned on ABC's This Week of what are called filtration camps near Mariupol, where people trying to flee are being forcibly taken to Russia.
We do not know how to, you know, to bring them back to Ukraine.
President Volodymyr Zelensky said Ukraine's neighbor Moldova should be concerned about Russia's latest military strategy. Moldova is home to Transnistria, a breakaway pro-Russian region which borders Ukraine.
A Russian general says the plan is to seize full control of southern Ukraine in addition to eastern Ukraine, all the way to Moldova. That would rob Ukraine of nearly all of its coastline.
Well, first of all, there's been a fourth explosion that was confirmed by Moldova's president in a briefing a little earlier.
That we do know that a sovereign, independent Ukraine will be around a lot longer than Vladimir Putin's on the scene.
Ah, that's
I didn't know that news report was going to be about Moldova, but
yeah,
that's where we're building
this
center, and we want to open it up right away this month.
So we have to pray for the covering of Moldova. It is the poorest country in Europe. We've been there. We've been there with Philip Cameron.
Anybody who could send that $500.
Yes.
And we want to send you the Lion of Judah blanket, or not as a blanket, it's a tapestry, a woven tapestry of the Lion of Judah. And you can hang that in your home or in your church. But that would be a little gift back to you. I need help to finish this now.
Yeah. Amen.
And it was a very difficult decision for me to make to try to build this when we're fighting a battle here just to stay on the air. And so we went ahead, and God's blessing it.
Yeah, amen.
And we've already sent probably half the money needed to finish that building.
Yes, amen. And many of you who are watching today, you've responded. You know, many have actually even sent in $10,000 for, that's a day of food that we've been sponsoring with the Orphans Hands, who are based in Moldova. But we do, when we see these reports, we have to pray. You know, I'm believing God. I truly, every day I pray that the Lord can send. He's able to do it. He can send warring angels of protection over the Orphans Hands. Yes. These young kids who are literally putting their life on the line, but they're helping. And that's what we as a church have been called to do. Mm-hmm. And so when you give that $500 donation to the ministry, you are partnering with us to be the Lord's hands extended into this time to help a people who cannot do anything back in return. Mm-mm. And so we want to thank you. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. Together, we can do the impossible. With God, all things are possible. That's but we need to hear from you.
We're buying all the food possible for survival food. And we talked about earlier about people storing food. We can't. Most of the companies are gone.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
I don't know how many there's left. There's not very many left.
Not very many.
And this is a necessary thing. If you want to order the food, go to our website, the survival food, our 30-year shelf life food, and then you can get on a waiting list. Mm-hmm. But by the end of this year, I don't know if they'll even be able to make food anymore. I mean, it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. The price is going up and
That's
up and up. And their supplies have gotten so limited that they're not able to create all the batches of the food that you need to do this survival food. Mm-hmm. But do something. Be prepared. Remember that God loves you. He's got a home prepared for those that love him. And he's the only one that can bring you through the days we're living on.
Thank you.
Living in on earth. I want to thank Carl Gallup for being with us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you,
Pastor Carl. And call right now, 1-888-988-1588. Spend some time studying about Jesus this year. God loves you. He really does. Amen. Bye-bye for today.
Bye-bye. We love you.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to The Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri 65615. Please make all checks payable to Jim Baker Show. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.
Hello, I'm Tammy Sue Baker. I want to invite you to the Pentecostal Fire Gathering here at Morningside, USA. Join us May 17th through May 19th for 3 days of worship, prayer, and revival like never before. Our special guests will be Tommy and Miriam Evans, Jesse and Parker Green, and Larry Sparks. If you can't join us here at Morningside, USA, you can register for the online event for only $30. Registration includes a DVD set of all the worship and teaching sessions. For more information and to register, visit our website at jimbakershow.com. Let's get ready for revival.